Good Saturday morning, St. Louis. You're here. You made it. You're listening to the Home Improvement Show right here on KMOX. I'm your host, like he said, Rich Orris, here to help you out every Saturday morning to talk to you about all things for your home. So for the next 2 hours, our phone lines are ready and wide open for everybody. I'm ready and here to help you out with all your home maintenance, repairs, remodeling questions, big or small. Doesn't matter. Give me a call, 314-436-7900. And let's just figure out the best way to fix, improve, and maybe upgrade your space in your home. We'll talk about everything from seasonal maintenance to tackling that long overdue kitchen remodel, from simple DIY fixes to knowing when it's time to call in a pro and really get something done well. If you have the list, you got things going on around your home, it's fair game today. I'm right here. Grab your cup of coffee, get a pen and paper so you can write down some of those project notes, and let's make your home the best it can be. And all right, let's go straight to the phones and see who's up first. We've got Mark on the line. Mark, how you doing this morning?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
I have a home that was built in the early 1960s. It has brick on the bottom and siding on the top, so it's like a 50-50 home.
Okay.
And when we bought the house, we replaced the windows. And in order to replace the windows, the installer had to redo the J-channel around them, and he did that the wrong way. He never saw J-channel over brick before, so all the water that hits the side of the house now runs down behind the bricks.
Okay.
And then it hits the plate and runs into the basement. So my question is, how would I go about getting this repaired? The installer doesn't know what to do, and I'm getting water in my basement. Could I call a siding company and have them do that?
Well, yeah, you're in kind of a hard place, a sticky place, because you really need somebody that completely understands the what needs to happen behind that siding.
So, right.
Let me ask you this. Do you have some of these windows that were changed? Does the brick go up to pretty much the top of the window, but then it's siding once you get at the top of the window from there on up?
It's the other way around. The window, okay, the bricks come up, the windows are there, and then the siding begins right at that point. Does that make sense?
I think so. So I guess to clarify, does the brick stop at the bottom of the window with like a roll lock? Okay. Okay. So, yeah. So you've got water coming around the J channel and getting down behind that brick and coming in a little lower on the wall. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah. And that is a tough situation because you really have to wrap and flash that window install very well, and you need to kind of integrate that to the flashing that goes over the top of that brick. And
think we'd be better off replacing the siding?
Well, I think if the siding's in good shape, you can take it off and you can redo and do some work around the windows to dry that in and flash it in a way that we get the water running on top of that brick sill. If water goes behind the siding, you do some house wrap, some flashing tape, some metal flashing pieces that go out onto around the window and onto that brick, and you basically guide that water back out onto the face of the brick. So
absolutely,
that's what you're looking for. Then once you put the siding back, it can be new siding. It could be the same siding if it's in good shape. A lot of times we're doing kind of what you were describing. We're reusing the same siding, but we're buying new J channels because it kind of to get it to fit right and work out like that. We do that a lot.
All right.
But there's not a lot of siding companies that, and not a lot of window companies that understand that system very well. They learn how to put in a replacement window, or the siders learn how to apply vinyl siding on top of a substrate, but the importance is in that substrate and how you work it, protect it, and flash it and do all of that. So finding someone with that combination is hard to find. This is something that myself and where I work at Mosby Building Arts, we specialize in this kind of repair, and when we side homes and change windows and side the houses, and we specialize in making sure we're getting good lasting value and we're including leaks in that, and stopping leaks and preventing leaks and air, you know, water and air infiltration and everything around there. So I would say your best bet is to call into our office at Mosby Building Arts and have one of our exterior consultants, either myself or one of the others. We've got a few. We're all really good. And the good thing with us is if one of us runs into something we're not quite sure of, we have everyone on staff. We've got the people that do these repairs are employees of the company. They've got me, they've got other consultants that we can all reference back and say, man, I'm really running, and I've done it myself, I'm running into something really, really weird. This is outside the box. I've got people that have been doing this just as long as I have that can help me kind of work through and figure it. So all of our exteriors consultants can do that same thing too and go, let me get this back in front of some people, make a really, really good plan on how to address it.
I am right across the river in Illinois. Is that a problem?
That is not a problem. Nope, we'll come over into Illinois.
Great.
Yep.
All right, well, I think you answered my question.
Yeah. No, I think you know what you're up against. The only other thing I'd say quickly and briefly is when they replace those windows, they use a replacement style window, which basically means they don't have the nailing fins molded on around that window. And that there is probably one of the biggest reasons you started seeing that water coming in even quicker or more often than you've seen it before. So we're going to have to kind of make shift something to replace that in order to try and keep that water out. But again, we'll understand and know how to do that. I've got one. The last one I sent out to a client with this exact same situation was this morning. I sent the email out that says, here's the paperwork, here's the scope. It describes how to make the fins out of metal and how to caulk them and how to tape them, and everything's very good and descriptive in there. So that's how often, unfortunately, this is how often we're seeing this issue for you. So you're not alone.
Right. Well, I appreciate your help.
All right. No problem. And for Mark and for everybody there, 314-909 will get you to Mosby Building Arts. You can talk to them, ask them things like this that we get into. Is it a good fit? Will it work? You can set your appointments. You can also go online at callmosby.com and do kind of the same submission, same thing there. It's callmosby.com. So, hey, we're going to get into our first break real quick here. And after this, we'll have Tom up as soon as we return. You'll be next on the Home Improvement Show. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show right here on KMOX. We got a lot going on today. We got plenty of time for you. We've got Cardinals don't go on till this evening, 5-6 o'clock, something like that. So we got the full 2-hour show for everybody. Hey, hopefully we'll see another winner tonight with the Cardinals and the Cubs. That's super exciting. They did a great job last night. But anything you need right now for the next 2 hours, I'm here for you. 314-436-7900. Get you right to me, just like Tom did. Let's go straight to Tom and see what's going on.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for holding on through the break there.
Thank you. I had a question about drip edge or drip apron on a gutter or a roof.
Uh-huh.
I had a roofing company come out the other day, and he looked at my roof for storm damage, told me that I did not have any damage. But I talked to him about a problem that I've been having for quite some time of water getting behind my gutter in only one section, about a 25-foot section. And when I look at it, back away and look at it, it looks like it's kind of pulled away a little bit. And I've known from experience of going up there and trying to reattach it that it seems that screws and nails back out. So I'm under the impression that there's some damage to the fascia board, that it's rotted or it's decayed.
Yep.
And I'm trying to get a company to come out or any company to come out to maybe if they're going to go ahead and put up new fascia board, I know they're going to have to take off the gutters, so I'm just going to go ahead and get new gutters put on. But my question is about the drip edge or drip apron. Once they remove those old gutters and have that wood exposed and replace any fascia that is needed to be done, if I want to have drip edge or drip apron installed, is that the kind of thing that is done by the gutter company, or is that a roofing company that needs to do that?
So it will depend on the situation of the fascia and siding on the home, like what that is and what that material is, because it's definitely, you're on the right track. It's very important to have that there. It's a good thing to have it, but you can do it two separate ways. One is done by the siding or gutter people, and the other is done by the roofer, because it's the actual roof drip edge. So let me ask you this. On that fascia that the gutter is mounted to, is that fascia board covered with aluminum metal from the siding and the soffit?
Only about halfway. I can see that the back part of that fascia is just wood.
Okay, so yeah, so they added the metal probably after the gutters were on, and they could only bring it up so high because your gutters are attached and they got the fasteners and everything. And so if you don't need to affect your roof, then the way that you can do it is, because they'll have to take that metal off too. They'll take the gutter off. They'll take the metal off. Some of that soffit that's underneath will have to come off because it's actually mounted between the back wall and then the underside of that fascia board. So some of that siding kind of soffit material will come off. They can change the rotted fascia board for a new good one, put the soffit back, and then when you put the metal, you put new metal back that kind of wraps from under the soffit. You know, it caps over it. It goes up the fascia. What you want to do is you want to bring that all the way up to your shingles. And then you can do a bend that creates that drip edge out of that piece of metal. It will help support the edge of the shingles, and it'll create that little drip and hold the shingles up. And since it covers that whole board, if your gutters back up or anything happens later, it'll then also keep that water on top of the metal and just dripping out and not getting to the wood like it did before, because now half that water is going behind that metal.
Yes, sir.
So you can do that. If your roof is good, it has no hail damage, it doesn't need to be changed. The only other thing I would suggest, and hopefully your roofer, the roofer that looked at your roof probably would have checked this because it's pretty common, is there's a certain distance you want that shingle to overhang past that fascia. And I've often seen if they don't get that lap out far enough, then you can get water behind that shingle and kind of dripping down behind your gutter. And so checking that overlap of that shingle to make sure it's a good inch and a quarter, something like that, overhanging that fascia is important. And I would have to guess, I mean, 99 out of 100 roofers, if you're telling them you have this issue, he probably checked that.
Okay. Okay, so it would be maybe either a roofing company or a gutter company could do that same thing that I was talking about?
Well, yeah, it depends on if a lot of roofing companies will do gutters, but they'll just subcontract out that work to a gutter company. And most of them don't do the fascia wrap and all that work. So really what you're looking for is a siding company that would be good for replacing the wood fascia also, and that can do your gutters as well.
I see.
And most siding companies are going to subcontract out that gutter work also, which in turn sometimes will leave you with, they'll get their work done and they go, okay, well, we got the gutter guys coming, and you might not get your gutters for a day, 5 days, 10 days, who knows, depending on, they try and schedule as tight as possible, but it's a little harder to do when it's a subcontracted out deal, because they just come when they can and they kind of tell them, yeah, we will, but they don't always make it there on time and all of that. It's not great to have your gutters off your house for too terribly long.
No.
But just like Mark that called in before, so our company that I work for, Scott Mosby's company, Mosby Building Arts, we can do everything that you're talking about. We do the gutters, we do the siding, the soffit, the fascia. We can replace the wood. We've got siders and carpenters, and we have our own gutter machine and do the gutters ourselves a lot, and all of that. So we have the ability to accomplish that entire task for you. So if you like to, you could start there or check with us also to see what it would take to get it done really well.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking my call and the suggestion.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing we do quite often is I've got one where the roof ties into the side of the porch. The step flashing's not done real well from the roof after years and years, about a 1950s, 60s home. Had several roofs replaced. It's dumping water behind all that white metal work, and it's rotting out some wood soffit below. And we were on a walkthrough for that project on Friday afternoon, going over what needs to happen, how we're going to do it with the project manager, and we're going to schedule that. And his is a little bit, we got to work out that scheduling because he has leaf guard gutters. So leaf guard's going to be replacing his gutters once we're done. So we're kind of trying to schedule tight with them again, like I said, so that hopefully the gutters are only down a day or two while we work, and then they come in day three, something like that, 3 to 4, and maybe you're only missing your gutters for 2 to 4 days rather than 2 to 4 weeks or something like that. It's a good thing to plan out. But hey, we've got plenty going on. We're going to get into our middle hour break here for everybody. If you're looking for anything from me, I'll be right here for you, 314-436-7900. More home improvement to come. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show, just like every Saturday, right here for you to help you out. You can find me, 314-436-7900. Anything you got going on, anything you might need. Like I said, we've got plenty of time with no Cardinals games in the way. We've got a lot we can go over, but it is your time, your show, and you are the main topic. So again, 314-436-7900. Let me know what's on your to-do list today. What are you trying to get done? It's a beautiful day today. The heat came back, but it's not too terribly, terribly bad today. Hopefully, Cardinals will... They're a little bit later, so maybe it'll start cooling down by the time they get going. So good day to try and do some of this outside work. Stay cool. Keep your wet rag over your head, all of that to kind of stay cool as you're trying it. But get through it, get it done, and you will be happier and your home will be a better place for it and it will appreciate it just as much. So, you know, I was kind of talking about, well, we had a couple good questions with the siding, the flashing, the window replacements, and the roofing drip edge. I see these kind of issues happening quite a bit, but I do have a good side of a story that I can tell real quick about some of my travels around and meeting and talking about how to help people's homes, what's the best thing to do, and really trying to just help everybody out. And, you know, as I go around and we get different calls and I go out and we analyze remodeling jobs, issues going on, like what we talk about here, all sorts of things here at Mosby Building Arts. I'm running around doing that on a daily basis. I often hear all the nightmare stories. When I'm looking at like foundation peering, and it's always, I don't have people call me up generally to say, hey, I got these piers. They've lasted 10 years. They're doing great. You want to come over and see them? I get the calls where it's like, it didn't work. There's still something moving. We got a structural engineer looking at it. We got these issues we need to correct. And so I get to hear all the bad stories and nightmare stories. And most of what I see is when there's issues and things that aren't working, or something somebody can't do, like they're taking out a window and they find rot and they go, oh, nope. They kind of button it up, find somebody to fix the wall, fix the rot. And then they start to learn how that includes the window install. But I was at a house last Thursday and we're going around and they had some windows replaced and we're looking at fixing some siding boards and some rotted boards and different repairs around the house. And they're showing me these stacked atrium windows in the back that just got replaced. And they basically told me what I'm always trying to teach people. And they're like, yeah, no, the guys that did this said, we really need to get the windows that have the nailing fins and we put them in like that and we replace all that trim and that's really going to make that better for you. And I'm like, wow, what a relief. Like, because I don't get to hear the positive side of that very often or hear that it was done well or right. Because as soon as I saw those windows were replaced, I kind of started to get this kind of feeling in the pit of my gut, like, oh, here's where it starts to go sideways. So when they tell me how they really did it and they did it right, I was like, wow, that's a rarity. That's a really good thing. And there is somebody else actually looking at this and doing, learning this and doing some things well. So that's positive for our industry because it's where we're trying to get our entire industry to go and to move towards, to make everything better for everybody. And then we'll all kind of be the same and we'll all meet up down the same road and it'll be fine. It's great. But hey, again, we've got Tina on the line. Let's get over there and see what's going on. Tina, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Well, I'm getting a new roof, and this is the first time I've ever replaced a roof or anything. So I'm picking out the color of the shingles, and I'm wondering if a classic black shingle is better or worse than getting a lighter colored shingle because of absorption of heat or anything like that. I wanted to get your opinion on that.
So in our climate here in the Metro St. Louis area, the color really doesn't help you out on an energy efficiency type of rating. In a lot of places, and they make energy efficient kind of shingles where if you're in a really, really cold place, then you want to do that dark roof, and it's going to help you keep the warmth and absorb the warmth, and it's going to help you in the winter, and it'll actually, it can affect your energy bills. And in a really, really hot environment, it can be the same way with a lighter roof. But if you look at our environment, we're kind of in the middle spring and fall, and then we get really, really cold for a short couple of months. and we get really, really hot for, well, it seems like a long couple of months this summer, but it's not really long and drug out. So from an energy standpoint, it really doesn't help one way or the other in our environment to say, yeah, go with a dark roof, because if you go with a dark roof, it's going to help you out in the winter. If you go with a lighter one, it's going to help you out in the summer, and we're kind of equal in them two places. We get both ends of the spectrum. So okay, it doesn't really matter. But most of your dark roofs, your black roofs, the only thing I'm leery on the darker and the black is the fact that it is a little harder to see hail damage on a black roof. You got to really know what you're looking for and everything, because the backing of the shingle is black. And if most of the actual shingle is black, it just makes it a little harder to see hail damage. So if you got some, you might need more hail damage to get an insurance company to say, yeah, we think you have enough, than if it were a mid-range colored roof or a gray or something where you could see the black through it. But I wouldn't let that tip you one way or another if that's the color that really is going to look good on the house. Then yeah, I would say you're fine going with a black roof.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And I have a turbine vent right now, which is old and it makes a lot of noise, and I want to have it replaced. I'm wondering if you would recommend having it replaced with another turbine vent, or should I go with a ridge vent? And what would that look like in terms of replacing the roof at the same time? Would I need to do something with the soffits, or is it pretty much the same?
Well, so the turbine vent is a really good way to vent, and it works. Those turbines work as well as a ridge vent does. They're just unsightly, and then after some number of years like you have, they get noisy. But so for an aesthetic purpose, the ridge vent is going to look the best and work the best for exhausting the roof. But as soon as you go to a ridge vent, you got to kind of patch up where that old turbine was, and then you got to examine the rest of your attic ventilation and how it's working. Because right now, it's if it's working, that's good. And if how old is your house?
The house is a little over 50 years old, and yeah, that turbine vent is original to the house. And the roofer told me that we could actually replace it with like color matching, so doesn't stand out quite as much.
Yeah.
And he said the ventilation is actually really good right now, that he's not noticing that, you know, if it wasn't working properly, he would notice more problems with the roof.
Exactly. And so you probably have gable vents at each end. And what happens is when that turbine gets going, it's pulling air towards the center of that attic and up and out. And you change that to a ridge vent, you could actually kind of damage how that ventilation is working. So if you're not looking for another project or looking into the rest of the roof or looking at soffit and fascia and siding and how to get air intake in, if that's not your desire, I would say stick with the turbine, get the color match, and let it, because it's been working great for 50 years. If he doesn't see a lot of wear and dry, brittle shingles and everything, I wouldn't change a thing.
Is there a lot of maintenance with the turbine? Because I'll be honest, I haven't done any maintenance with mine since I bought the house.
There really isn't. It's a moving part that has bearings and stuff. So if it starts making noise, you can try and go up there and kind of grease it up, use some like garage door grease spray, stuff like that, to see if you can get that noise and that squeak to stop. But I haven't heard any of them squeaking within the first 5-10 years. These things are 20, 30, sometimes 40 years old before they start squeaking.
That sounds great. Okay. Well, yeah, that really helps me make my decision. I appreciate that.
Okay. Perfect. Great question, and it is something that to think about when you go to change the circumstance of how your house is functioning and working, not just for the roof, but the HVAC and other major factors of the house. How does that affect everything else? It's definitely something worth looking into and thinking about, because sometimes you're best just leaving well enough alone and leaving what's working, and just continue with what you have. So we're going to jump into our final break of this hour. So, Paul, if you can hang on through the line, and for everybody else, we'll have plenty of more show for you here today, 314-436-7900. We'll find me. We'll get to Paul as soon as we return right after this. Okay, we're back. More home improvement show. Lots going on. Lots coming up. Whole nother hour after this segment, so plenty of time for everybody to get in on the fun, the questions, the conversation. What do you have happening around your house? Let me know about it. 314-436-7900. Love to help you out. Love to help Paul out. Let's go to Paul and see what's happening.
Hello.
Hey, are you there? How you doing?
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you.
Good.
I am trying to help my daughter. She owns this 80, 90-year-old frame house, and it's a wooden porch, and the porch floor sometimes leaks during heavy storms. It's a covered porch, but it leaks into the basement. They call them murder rooms, you know, those little cellars they have.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And so it's like, what do we do? The porch floor itself does not seem in bad shape. I don't think it needs replaced, so we'd like to save it if possible, but we still have a water problem.
Yeah, is the floor of the porch concrete?
No, everything is wood.
Oh, so it's all wood. Okay,
it's tongue and groove, but you know it's old. I don't know if it's original or not, but it looks original, and it's just it leaks. So she tried putting some caulk in some of the cracks. It didn't seem to work. Should we use a certain kind of caulk, or is there a covering? Anything on a suggestion rather than replace it?
Yeah, so with wood, as that floor with a basement underneath it, yeah, there's not a whole lot of solutions there. It's basically kind of what you're doing, caulking, painting, sealing everything up, caulking the board against the actual house, whether it's brick or what, just trying to fill everything up, paint it real good so that the water can run off of it. That's really what you're up against. So just using a really good exterior paintable caulk and trying to find everything that you can, every little crack and crevice, because water travels around too. It can start over here. So if you see it underneath in one spot, it could actually be kind of coming in through a crack and following the tongue of the board 2 feet over. So it's really just trying to seal that thing up as much as possible through a caulk and a paint. And they make some of that good, like, deck board paint, the bare feet paint and stuff like that, kind of like a Rhino Shield type, something like that, if you fill everything really well and try and use a type of a floor paint like that would work really well. I don't usually recommend a lot of that type of paint for decks, because generally when people have a lot of rot on decks and they're looking to use that, it's because their deck's close to the ground.
Right.
And if you don't cover the underside, you'll still get a lot of moisture and a lot of rot and things happening. But they're in a basement. So if you get that sealed up pretty well, then you can monitor the humidity in the basement. If that cellar area underneath that porch has a door that they keep closed, I would say keep that door open.
Oh, okay.
Because it will actually help that room breathe, and it'll help that room dry out. You'll have higher humidity in that room than you will the rest of the basement, because that room will have a lot more leaking and air infiltration around it, being that it's kind of a wooden floor structure system and wooden floorboards over the outside. So, but I would be good and safe to say if you use a floor paint like that that seals really well, you're okay there because you've got a basement underneath it and you've got 6-7 feet of space. So you're not right on top of moisture and that. And the only other thing I might add is once they start leaving that door open, I would monitor the relative humidity level in that basement and make sure it's staying down at or under 50% is a good place. 45% would be ideal. So that's another thing to kind of watch out for.
Okay. And you said Rhino, is that a Behr product?
Well, Rhino Shield is like that company that paints houses and all of that, but the Barefoot one, I'm not sure. I think it is a Behr product. If you look for like a deck floor paint that really does like a thick coating to hold water and moisture out because they know this deck is outside, that's what you're looking for. But I think it is Behr's, is called Behr Feet.
Okay, that's great. I have a related paint question if you have time.
I've got real quick. I've got about a minute.
Okay. I've got a wooden porch of my own with wooden steps, and I can't get paint to stick on it. I replaced the steps with a cedar tone 2x6s, and whether it's primed or not primed, the Behr porch and floor paint doesn't stick to it. I tried priming it. It doesn't work. It just bubbles up when it rains.
Oh, you might have too much moisture in the board when you're getting it on there, and that's where I kind of warn about that paint too, is because if there's stairs out front and they're getting close to the ground, you could be getting a lot of moisture in those boards from underneath.
Right.
So the best way to do it is to take that board, have it dried out perfectly before you install it, paint all six edges, all six sides with it, then put it on. That's very difficult and hard to do. But, hey, I'm out of time. If you want to stick around, we can get into this next hour, and we'll have more coming up right after this.